everyone, and welcome back to the Rooted Podcast. Today I'm going to discuss imposter syndrome, a topic that is prevalent not only in my own life, but in many of the lives of the individuals who I come across and who I've met. So first, I wanted to start a little bit with the history of imposter syndrome, kind of how it became popularized in recent, I would say, society and in discourse. And then I'm going to get a little bit into some suggestions that, you can take from today's episode and things that I've implemented in my own life to be able to live with imposter syndrome. Imposter phenomenon, or imposter syndrome, was coined in 1978 by clinical psychologists Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imes, and explains individuals' experiences of believing that what they achieve are a result of luck or misperceptions of others around them, rather than personal competence. At first, Clance and Imes found that imposter syndrome was prevalent in successful women, particularly women who experience a lower socioeconomic status. However, what we know in more recent literature is that imposter syndrome is experienced by everyone, regardless of their success status or gender. So if you look back to your own experiences, perhaps there's a time that you felt this. Maybe you felt like you didn't belong, or maybe you felt like you shouldn't be in a room, or wonder how you got there. And I've felt this way a lot in more recent years. Switching careers has been something that I've talked a little bit about before on this podcast, and something that has been very difficult for me. And there has been times in my life where I've just felt like I didn't belong in a room, or I wonder how I got there, and I wonder, who I tricked to be able to get into that space. So through time, what I've been learning is that, this thing of imposter syndrome isn't going to go away, and it's not something that needs to be fixed. It's something that we're constantly living with, and I think there's just going to be more days where you feel like you're enough and you feel like you belong versus days where you don't. At first I remember too, when I was teaching originally as a high school teacher, I felt it. I really did. I felt really like I wasn't the right person to be in front of the students. Was I the most knowledgeable? Was I a great role model? Would I be able to assist them with whatever it was that they needed? And what I learned through time was that all that stuff really didn't matter. It was more about if I cared to be there and if I cared to be in the room, that was really all that the students needed. And I think, there was a larger purpose for sure that came out of that that teaching work. And at the end of the day, it was, my capacity not to, teach the curriculum, but it was my capacity to be able to want to connect with students and build that rapport with them. So, switching gears into now becoming an academic, there's definitely a lot more different avenues of incompetence that I often feel. And this is mostly because, I don't have a lot of experience in research. And, to give you context, in my own teaching role, before I became a teacher, I worked for a really long time in camps as a camp leader, a camp counselor, a coach. I even worked tutoring, right? There are a lot of different occupations that related to the skill of teaching, which made me feel a little bit more confident in that. And I really do have less research experience, I think, coming into my PhD than perhaps others came in with. And that had always been kind of a sore point for me. And something that in recent years I've had to learn a little bit more was that the idea that I come with a different perspective and I come with different lived experiences that bring something more nuance to the table, and also it gives me a different perspective of my research, which has been really great. So as I said, it's, imposter syndrome is something that, you can't fix, and it's something that will come in waves. And I want to, give you a couple of tips and strategies to help you kind of deal with it in your own life and maybe live with it and work with it and become, one with it. And I know that sounds so strange. You're saying like, Nancy, why should I become one with this thing that is seemingly almost ruining my life? But there is a real part of you that feels like you shouldn't be there and you don't belong. And of course, that's a larger story and it's a larger part of your history and your lived experience. But a big part of what we can do as adults who hold responsibility for ourselves is to try to take care of ourselves and try to understand ourselves a little further. So the first thing that I often do with myself is that I remind myself of my why. So when I was teaching, this was really easy. My why was to, support students, no matter where they came from, where they were, and how they came into my classroom, support them in whatever it is they wanted to do, and support them in the successful careers that they thought was successful. So if it was, applying to you know, health sciences or whatever it might be, or was, you know, trying to get into an art space school and doing dance, right? Just supporting them in whatever it was that they wanted to do. And in my research, it's really helped me as well, because I think in the times where you feel stuck, in the times where you feel like your work is insignificant, and in the times where you feel like you really should stop and just give up, I think of the overall purpose of what I'm trying to do as a researcher and the lives that I'll impact once my work is successful and it's out there. The next thing that I constantly do is I try to think in opposition to those prevalent thoughts of, you know, that you don't belong and why are you here? And I try to, you know, indicate to myself that you belong here as much as everyone else. And I reassure myself of all of the struggles that I had gone through and all of the things that I've learned along the way. And I constantly remind myself that my brain is playing tricks on my own thoughts. And you know, oftentimes when it does that, you take what your brain is saying as true, and oftentimes it's not. So being able to reassure yourself and critically reflect on, you know, what situations you feel imposterism in and why do you think that is, all of these things are a process of not only learning about yourself, but being able to soothe yourself and being able to support yourself in these spaces where you don't feel like 100% you belong or you feel a little bit uncomfortable. The next thing that I often do when I'm feeling like an imposter is I like to spend time doing hobbies and activities that I enjoy. One, because it makes me feel like I'm good at something, and sometimes imposterism is, you know, you just not feeling good at something. You feel really bad at what you're doing and you have no idea how you got here or how you're even in this position. You know, some of the stuff that I like to do is like exercise, I'll play sports with friends, or I'll read, you know, doing things that kind of make me feel empowered. And a large part of also what I like to do is spend time with people who care about me outside of the work that I do, so that it shows me, you know, that there's a whole network and community and purpose outside of what I do. And what I do isn't the solemn thing that drives my life. It's a part of me. I'm a researcher. That's a part of my identity, but it's not all of who I am. And it's very important to acknowledge that and acknowledge that separation, because you are valuable inside of your work, amazing, but also you are also a very large and valuable person outside of your work. So one of the things that I've been doing to remind myself of that is I've been taking regular meditation. I've been doing my practice every day. I used to meditate a little bit more sporadically, but now I'm doing it every day. I'm practicing specifically metta meditation. It's really helped me be a little bit more creative and also helped me love myself, you know, create that bond and relationship with myself to make it stronger. And I think it's just important to find something for you that makes you feel connected and makes you feel, you know, valued in society. And I think that value doesn't mean like a productive value. It just means that like you feel like you should be here and you feel happy to be connected with people or to be living on this earth. Sometimes it's just going out in nature, right? Just feeling happy to be connected to this larger network. And lastly, you know, I talked a little bit about also like hanging out and being around people that you love or people who love you. But what's really important about all that as well is, yes, you can share some of your burdens with individuals around you. But I would hesitate to say that there should be one person that you go to for everything, because what often happens with that is that you are giving the responsibility of somebody else for all of your feelings and all of the issues that you're coming with, particularly around imposter syndrome. It's something that comes up a lot, especially if you're in a line of work that is very stressful or makes you feel like you have to achieve all the time. And that person is not solely responsible for taking care of everything for you. What's important is you can have different types of people. So for instance, you can have your partner who you go to, maybe it's a really good friend, maybe it's a family member, and you can have these different avenues of support, because for a lot of this work and for a lot of the feeling of imposter syndrome, you can't go through it alone. But it is important to know that the people around you are not supposed to fix everything for you. And that's something that I learned through time. And it's also something that I learned through therapy. And, you know, therapy had been really helpful to be one of those avenues for support, especially when I felt like I was emotionally dumping on a lot of the individuals around me, because it was something where I was able to be myself with somebody else and get, like, you know, unbiased opinions and feedback on things that I needed to work on and things that I was thinking about. And it also helped me too. There was a time where I was really, you know, sharing a lot with all of the people around me. And then there was a time where I didn't at all. So, because I felt like I didn't want to burden anyone with my emotions. And if you're someone like that, a therapist is really helpful because they're getting paid to do that work. So you're not burdening them. But also you get to share and talk to someone. And it's important to open up so that you can create that supportive network. So I want to leave this podcast today off with, you know, being really transparent that I'm constantly learning about myself, and these tips and strategies that I've given you are things that work now. They may not work later, but it's just something that has really helped me in the situations that I've been in. And I also want to acknowledge that all of us come from a different history that trigger automatic thoughts that make you feel or don't feel valued or feel or not feel like an imposter. So it's really important to start to think about what maybe why those reasons, those feelings are coming up. And lastly, I know that, you know, this is a part of my life's work to figure out why it is that I feel this way in certain situations and to reassure myself that I am enough. And so are you. So if you are feeling a bit undervalued today, I want to leave you with a section of a book that I'm reading. My good friend gave me the book. The book is titled The Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino. I am nature's greatest miracle. Since the beginning of time, never has there been another with my mind, my heart, my eyes, my ears, my hands, my hair, my mouth. None that came before me, none that live today, and none that come tomorrow can walk and talk and move and think exactly like me. All individuals are my community, yet I'm different from each. I am a unique creature. I am nature's greatest miracle. I hope that if that was a message that you needed to hear today, that it came and landed with you warmly. And I thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And I'm really excited to connect with you again on the next episode. Bye for now.